Clive Crook joins us now. A lot that's good about him, nothing gray. He's a columnist and associate editor of the Financial Times and a columnist for National Journal. Clive, thanks for being back with us.
Thanks.
What's your reaction to the proposals, raft of proposals for increased regulation and oversight that Secretary Geithner brought to Congress this week?
Mostly good. I mean, there were two main parts to it. One, address to the immediate problem of the banks, you know, this issue of toxic assets. And I think what he suggested there made a lot of sense, that there's no guarantee it's going to work, but it seemed to me like a step in the right direction. And then the other big proposal was looking further forward, when he called for this special resolution regime for all kinds of financial institutions, not just banks. And I think that's also a good idea.
I want to get to, if you don't mind, a preview of your column that's set to appear on Monday, which we've been thoughtfully provided, because I think it's going to cause some talk. And let me ask you, you suggest that in major policy areas, from Iraq troop withdrawals to dispersal of prisoners from Guantanamo to cross-border military actions in Pakistan, the policies of the Obama administration are less a change than a rebranding.
Well, I think that's true, don't you? I mean, I think in so many areas, the cosmetics have changed. You know, the presentation has changed. He's moved away from talking about the war on terror. You know, phrases like that are forbidden. But if you look at the substance of what he's done, on the foreign policy side, I want to underline, not on the domestic, where I think there's a real change afoot, but on the foreign policy side, I think he is by and large continuing the approach of the Bush administration in many ways. And that is not obviously, to me at any rate, a criticism. You know, I think what he's found is that many of the questions, many of these questions are really very difficult, and the facts on the ground are refusing to compromise. And on issue after issue on the foreign policy side, he's having to do by and large what Bush did.
Dan Shore just talked about the different attitudes that Europeans and Americans may have towards economic stimulus. Stimulus spending, and maybe it derives from the different history that Europe has with inflation. Do you see these disagreements coming into play at the G20 meetings in London next week?
Oh, yeah. I'd be surprised if they don't, at least in private. Mm-hmm. I think in private, there's really quite a lot of friction over this. I think the American side doesn't understand the reservations that a lot of European countries have about fiscal stimulus. The Europeans feel that they're being bullied, and that the U.S. isn't, mindful of their own concerns. So I think, yes, in private there'll be some quite tough discussions. How much of that leaks out to the public is another question. I mean, these summit communiques, well, it's probably been written already, and it will be a very bland, reassuring statement. So I think, in the public face of the thing, they'll try and paper over these quarrels. But behind the scenes, there's a lot of friction over this.
To what degree is either the European Union or the United States capable of unilateral action?
Well, certainly the U.S. is capable of unilateral action. Do you mean in the economic policy?
Yes, yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we've seen it. I mean, that's, to be honest, at the moment, that's really all we've got. And thank God, you know, the U.S. is capable of unilateral action. You know, we've seen this big fiscal stimulus, which was absolutely necessary, I think, for the U.S. and for the world economy. And, the Obama administration has delivered on that. Coordinated fiscal stimulus, which is what the administration is calling for, would be better, but that is difficult to achieve, and we haven't had that so far.
I want to ask you about this lastly. President Obama's visit to London for that conference will be just a month after he welcomed Prime Minister Gordon Brown to the White House. And I think it's safe to say that much of the British press, some of your colleagues that write for the newspapers you open on the left, have had their knickers in a twist.
Tearing of hair and gnashing of teeth, that's right.
Help us understand what was perceived of as a slight.
Well, you know, we Brits are ridiculously hypersensitive to, America's view of Britain. And in Britain, there's a great preoccupation with the so-called special relationship. Americans don't seem to have heard of this, but the Brits believe in it. And so they look for little things and then, I think, tend to blow them out of proportion. So there was that embarrassment over the exchange of gifts, the way Brown wasn't given a full press conference, things of that kind.
President Obama gave him, what were they, DVDs that you can't play in the British
video system? I'm afraid they
system,
were,
right?
yeah. Something went wrong in the protocol office there, I think.
Yeah, they hadn't thought that. But is the fact that President Obama arguably more popular among Western European leaders than their elected leaders. Is that going to help or hurt him at this conference?
It's true, and it's certainly going to help him. I think Brown's going to be incredibly courteous, incredibly polite, and hope that the earlier embarrassment will be forgotten.
Okay. Clive, thanks very much. See
Pleasure.
You soon. Clive Crook of the Financial Times. And this is NPR News.